This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And welcome to another segment, segment of Fictional Women Around the World. Today is going to be fun for a lot of reasons. Samantha has no idea who we're talking about. That's great.
I have no idea.
Yes. This one's going to be really fun for people who do know what I'm talking about. Like, I think you'll still enjoy it even if you don't. But if you do, you're going to enjoy this one, I think. Although not if you're my friend who's really heartbroken right now.
Oh, no.
So today we are talking about Final Fantasy VII, the character Aerith Gainsborough. So spoilers, I put a question on that because this game came out in 1997. I'm mostly going to be talking about the original. But I will be talking on some of the stuff going on with a new one. So if you don't know, I believe in 2020, because I was playing it during the pandemic with my friends, they released a remake. And it doesn't follow the original game. That's why it's called a remake. But it has a lot of stuff that's similar. They just released a new game, the second part of their remake trilogy, Rebirth. And I, listeners, I've been sucked in. It's such a long game and I don't have time to play it. I have all those other things to do, but I want to play it. And at the heart of, you know, well, at part of the heart of this game is a love triangle, Samantha.
Oh.
You play as the character Cloud, and there are two women, Tifa and Aerith, who are your main choices. I got Tifa, is all I will say. but I really cannot wait to come back and do an episode on Tifa and Yuna, who is from a different Final Fantasy, but still. Again, so many of these episodes, I'm like, oh, we have to talk about this too. This character has been in a lot of media. Aerith, including a movie. That was a very odd film, but she was in there. She's also in Kingdom Hearts. She is voiced by Mandy Moore. You can see the episode we did on Tara Branford, who was from Final Fantasy 3/6, depending on your translation copy. I do. You know I have to say it. I love all the Star Wars references in it. There's a lot of Star Wars references in this game. Also, my D&D campaign is based on Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VII, and Star Wars, but mostly, I guess that like overt puns are Star Wars, but the game is based on Final Fantasy VII. And that's why I was like, oh no, Dylan knows he's played Final Fantasy VII. It's ruined. I hope it's clear. This is not a sponsor. Every time we talk about games and movies and stuff, unless we specifically say that that's why we're doing the episode, it is not a sponsor at the current moment or not why we're talking about them. So, yes. All right. So who is this character? Again, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is I'm seeing so many wild conversations play out about her. I am seeing shipping devastate my friends because, again, there's two main characters that you could end up with. And I thought, why not talk about one of the main ones, one of the most pivotal characters? And I'm going to argue later at the end that perhaps the most pivotal character, Aerith Gainsborough. All right, so first thing, if you're like me and you grew up with the PlayStation 1 version, her name was mistranslated to Eris in the American version. Uh-huh. It's meant to sound close to Earth, but it's Aerith now. I say Aerith now as in that's what it is in even English games, but in the original PS1, it was Eris. As I've mentioned, the first Dragon Con cosplay I ever did was of Tifa. My good friend did, Aerith, who is the other character in the love triangle with Cloud. I will be talking about her some too, but she's definitely going to get her own episode. And yes, your choices throughout the game influence who you end up with. And Aerith and Tifa are your two mains, but they're not the only ones, though I will say they're your only serious ones. I did play it every time to get the different person.
Right.
Oof. But one of them was really difficult. But what's interesting to me about it is that Aerith and Tifa are friends. No matter what happens, there's no catfighting. They're both, to me, legitimate choices, as in even if they're both in love with Cloud, it might be a big part of their motivations, but they are their own separate, different people. They're complex characters with lives outside of a dude. What? Pretty much. Apparently, Robert Pattinson has said that this love triangle is how, quote, every guy figures out what love is. Okay. And that he loved both characters.
Interesting.
Also, I was telling Samantha before this, I had to cut a lot of this episode. I think at least 2 pages. Because I was just going off on tangents that aren't about Aerith. But one of them is Tifa's boobs. I've talked about this before. But there's a scene, if you know it, you know it. And they really put in those animation bucks, those 1997 animation bucks, into animating her boobs bounce.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah. It's very, I won't forget it.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But okay, all these tangents aside, Final Fantasy VII is a role-playing video game that first came out in 1997, and yes, it's now getting a remake. It was hugely popular. It was critically acclaimed. Some argued it altered the gaming landscape at large. It is considered as one of the best video games of all time. I loved it. It's one of my favorites. It was an epic story over three discs that had a compelling main story all about a planet being poisoned from pollution, but with a ton of side quests that the player could seek out if they wanted them. As I mentioned in the episode we did on Terra, Final Fantasy games are not generally connected, but there are similar elements in each edition. One would be like magic and summoning, things like that. Another, they're complicated as f*** to explain. But extremely briefly, the plot of Final Fantasy VII follows a mercenary named Cloud Strife who takes a job with, quote, eco-terrorist group Avalanche, and a lot of the members are from his hometown. This group believes that Shinra, who is they're the controlling power, kind of a company government entity, is killing the planet by draining its life force of Mako, which is kind of like, I don't know, the green magic that keeps the planet going. But it's useful for a bunch of other stuff. Basically, they're overmining the planet of its soul. So Cloud sort of gets wrapped up in this group in part because of his childhood friend and girl next door type Tifa. Through all of this, he meets a flower girl later falling through the roof of her church named Aerith Gainsborough, who is immediately mysterious and flirty, but she's also presented as like very innocent. She wears pink and reds that cover her whole body. She's very sweet. She is the foil to our closed-off leading man. And she needs a bodyguard because some of the bigwigs at Shinra are hunting her down. You later learn she's the last of her race, the Cetra, who wielded powerful magical abilities and are protectors of the planet. Aerith's mother tries to convince Cloud to leave. And he attempts to sneak out. Basically, like, he's hiding out at her house, at Aerith's house, and her mom's like, no. So he tries to sneak out, but he's caught by Aerith, who demands to come with him on their hunt for the mysterious and deadly Sephiroth, a powerful soldier, and soldier's like a title in these games, that has connections to Cloud and Tifa's past, and they believe is at the heart of all the bad stuff going on. Aerith is a playable character and she fights. She's kind of the magic person healer, but she's really powerful. More history. She is actually half Cetra, born to her mother, Afalna, who was full Cetra, and her father, Professor Gas Faramis. However, within weeks of being born, a scientist working for Shinra named Hojo kills her father and captures her and her mother and brings them to his lab where he performs a lot of experiments on them. Pretty cruel to her mom. Aerith was very isolated during this time. At one point, her drawings were interpreted as showing the promised land where Mako was plentiful, and they really wanted to know where this was. With the help of someone on the inside, Afalna escaped with Aerith, leaving her on the streets of the Sector 5 slums in Midgar, like on the church steps. And Midgar is like the main city. And it's very divided by class and socioeconomic status. It's very polluted. After her mother collapsed, Aerith searched for a doctor and instead was found by her adoptive mother, Elmira Gainsborough. Elmira soon learns that Aerith has powers she cannot explain when Aerith correctly predicts the death of Elmira's husband. On Aerith's 8th birthday, Shinra shows up, informing Elmira that Aerith is a Cetra, and they regretted how cruelly Afauna had been treated, and that they would leave her alone if Aerith told them the location of the Promised Land. Elmira was able to convince them to let them be if she kept a close watch on Aerith, and Aerith told Elmira she was, in fact, a Cetra. This meant that Elmira was very strict with Aerith, where she could go, what she could do. No television, so she didn't really know what was going on in the outside world. Eventually, Aerith ran away in protest. She was found by the man who helped her and her mother escape, but he told her that he was in love with her and had been in love with her mother and wanted to be with her. Elmira found them and chased him off with a broom and a pistol. Despite all of the pollution and the difficulty of growing things, Aerith starts planting flowers near her home and a nearby church, where they grow well due to her and the magical qualities of the water. Aerith was very compassionate and caring. She was very, like, joyful and upbeat when it came to her view on life, how she behaved, flowers and people. She sees violence as the last resort, but she can absolutely fight, and she will. Through her work at the church, she meets a soldier named Zack, who fell through the roof while she was tending flowers. He called Aerith an angel and asked her out, and she laughed off this request. He then suggested that she sell her flowers for money. She gave him a tour of the slums, and he brought her signature pink ribbon. She admitted to him that she was afraid of soldiers, who in her mind were experiments that were created for violence. But, oh no, she learns Zack is a soldier and she's embarrassed. they're like clones, essentially. Mm. Yeah, Star Wars. Then there's much flirting. She praises his eyes, but alas, Zack is called away, but he promises to come back and visit her when he can. He does come back and he builds her a cart to sell her flowers. And they did a bunch of cute, like, datey things, including Aerith promising she'd wear pink every time they went on a date. But Zack was called away again on a job with Sephiroth. Whoa. And he never returned.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. Aerith kept selling flowers, though she did it out of a basket because the cart had broken, which I assume is a symbol. She spoke of hearing the wind and an old voice speaking to her and wanting to see the world. And yes, she later tells Cloud, if this story is like, wait a minute, did you already say that? Yeah. She later tells Cloud, he reminds her of Zack. They both fell through the roof of the church. And that is a whole mess that I'm not sure we have time for today because, like, Cloud is Zack. Fun with clone and memories. No. He's not, but he thinks he is.
No.
But he doesn't know. It's confusing. He thinks he's Cloud, but he has Zack's memories in life in his head. Anyway, back to the main storyline. So this epic journey ensues all across the planet, and you really get to see that Aerith, despite her, quote, innocent exterior, is an instigator. Like, she's flirtatious. She's the one that convinces Cloud to cross-dress to infiltrate an enemy lair. She's often the one that argues they should help people or animals or the planet or what have you. She's great at reading people and figuring out what they want. And this often puts her in situations where a great threat, and she is captured after rescuing one of the party's daughter, who is a single father. And I also read a whole bunch about how interesting that was to be in this game. But anyway, and Hojo is back. Oh, no. Hojo. And he wants to. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Because he wants to breed Aerith with Red 13, who is a sentient dog. Cat. There's a huge argument on the internet right now about this Samantha because in the game they keep calling him a dog. Kind of looks like a cat. Anyway, apparently people are still weighing in. But whatever the species, they live over 100 years. So Hojo wanted to make a longer lasting hybrid. The group arrives to rescue Aerith and Red 13 before this can happen, but then they get captured too. And they all wake up and they're in cells, but then they wake up and cell doors are open and everyone, including the president of Shinra, has been killed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, they're good bad guys, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
Presumably by Sephiroth, who has a great theme song, by the way. One-winged angel. Aerith, now with some evidence that Sephiroth was related to the Cetra, was more determined to find him. Although, spoiler alert, he's not, and he's kind of a liar, but whatever.
Are they all liars?
Yes! More stuff happens. They run into Hojo again, but he's on vacation. It was like, leave me be. Aerith starts thinking about being the last of her kind, like potentially, and learns more about her heritage. She meets Zack's parents and confides to Cloud that Zack was her first love. If you played your cards right, I guess, if you want to get a date with Aerith, perhaps Cloud and Aerith go on a date. A confrontation with Sephiroth takes place where he reveals his plan to basically destroy the planet. Aerith harnesses her Cetra powers, but Sephiroth takes control of Cloud to attack her because, again, he's a clone and Sephiroth can kind of control all the clones. Cloud doesn't know he's a clone. That was like one of the big shock of the game. It's like, because you keep trying to find out who are all these guys in robes. And then you're like, no, I'm a clone too. Anyway, so he's knocked out, but he hears Aerith promising that she'll take care of it. And then she's gone. Aerith locates the city of the ancients / the Cetra and prays for the holy white magic to combat the dark magic, the meteor that Sephiroth has summoned.
Uh-oh.
While she's summoning it, the party finds her and Sephiroth once again takes control of Cloud to try and murder her, but Cloud resists. However, Sephiroth descends from the sky and impales her with his sword, killing her. As Cloud is holding her, her ribbon comes loose and a white materia, which materia is kind of a Mako-infused orb used for magic, falls out. This is known as one of the most shocking, traumatic video game moments ever. I wasn't expecting it. No one was expecting it. I'm pretty sure it happens at the end of disc one. So it's not like, it's pretty late. It's early, but it's late. I don't know. And people were determined to find out if you could prevent it somehow with your choices. And remember, this was when we were all on old, slow internet connections and trying to figure all of this out.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
there is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a quote from the Wiki fandom about Aerith's death. The death of Aerith in Final Fantasy VII has been seen as a monumental moment in gaming history due to the impact it had on fans. In 2007, GameSpy staff listed it as the 10th top cinematic moment in gaming history, calling it dramatic as it is beautiful and comparing it to the death of Gwen Stacy from the Spider-Man comic books. Emma Boyes, writing for IGN in 2012, described the death of Aerith as a genuinely shocking moment, saying her death stays with players and allows them to sympathize with Cloud's quest for vengeance against Sephiroth. Several players, in response, created numerous fan theories on message boards and dissected the game's code to explore the possibility of reviving Aerith or preventing her death. In describing this, Brian Taylor, writing for Killscream, compared this to the campaigns of writing letters to Charles Dickens to urge him not to kill the endearing protagonist of the old curiosity shop. And here's a quote after Sephiroth kills Aerith from Cloud. "The cycle of nature and your stupid plan don't mean a thing. Aerith is gone. Aerith will no longer talk, no longer laugh or cry or get angry. What about us? What are we supposed to do? What is this pain? My fingers are tingling. My mouth is dry. My eyes are burning." It's a really upsetting scene. It's really, like, it stuck with me. I found an article that was like, it traumatized the whole generation because we weren't expecting it. It was woof.
That's how they do it.
That's how they do it. And again, I'm not going to go into the remake, but I want to so badly. Okay. So Aerith joins, after she's murdered, she joins the life stream, which is sort of like the planet's soul. And she reaches out to Cloud when his mind is broken. And essentially, there's a whole section of the game where you're in his head and he's just reliving his worst moments. It's intense.
Okay.
And she reaches out to him. So does Tifa. And again, separate episode. But she's able to help harness the life stream and the summon that she died for to block Meteor and stop Sephiroth. Like I said, yeah, I'm not going to go into the remake, but it is one of my favorite video game endings ever. And I believe the Rebirth is the same. But basically, they're like, we're not going to do exactly the same thing. Basically, in the remake, there are these things called whispers, and they're sort of fate. And you can change some of it, but some of it, the whispers are like, no, this has to happen. So all I'll say about that. She is a hugely popular character. She came in third in a 2020 poll about all-time most popular Final Fantasy characters behind Cloud and Yuna. And I do, like I said, I want to come back and do an episode on Yuna. I did a whole art project on Yuna. I love her. But okay, there are a lot of things to talk about here. People have written a lot about her. One thing is, there's a very interesting juxtaposition with her with the Madonna and the whore, wherein she is very presented as very innocent. She wears pink. She sells flowers. She's very upbeat. She's very, like, outgoing emotionally. She's very flirtatious, but she is not slut-shamed. Not at all. She's definitely the one that is flirting with Cloud. She has moments of, like, teasing him, in particular about him feeling like he has to protect her, even though she's proven herself time and time again. But she also has her moments of vulnerability. And this was really interesting to me because when I was reading about it, a lot of people didn't like her because she was too forward. But to me, when you she doesn't seem that forward. It's just she's a woman in kind of an innocent guise who's flirtatious. And people are like, whoa. or she got in the way of their ship. If they're a Tifa cloud. Oh, yeah. Or that she was weak because she was too feminine and wore pink and sold flowers. But again, she kick your ass. This is a quote from Sam Rowett. As such, Aerith's dual role as savior and seductress can seem strange to us as Western players who are generally more familiar with those traditions. Despite the source of its inspiration, however, Seven makes no effort to undermine Aerith's benevolent image through its narrative. She isn't one to sit on her behind waiting for Prince Charming to save the day, especially not if she thinks she can do better. Aerith was never an innocent little child. She was a bold young woman, the will and determination required to save the world. In many regards, she's more of an ideal hero than Cloud himself could ever hope to be. That's why her death still reduces fans to tears after 20 years and why it has such a visible impact on the rest of the party. I also found a theory that wasn't looking down at all, but that she's a sex worker. I thought that was fascinating, but I had never heard of that. That was new to me. She was looked down on as a girly girl, and I found a lot of articles from women who grew up with this game, who have played it again as adults, kind of coming to terms with how much they judged her for being a girly girl. She's kind of like outwardly a girly girl, but again, I think both her and Tifa are more nuanced than the tropes they represent. Here's a quote from XP Show. The whole deal with Tifa and Aerith is that none of them act like how they look. They switch the character archetypes. A major theme of Final Fantasy VII is subverting archetypes. Tifa, the fighter, is the caring motherly type, and Aerith, frail magic user, is the bold, outgoing one. Yep. Costumes. There are a lot of sexualized costumes, but I would say, I mean, not generally. Like I said, Aerith's main costume isn't, but there are a lot of costume changes, but I say she leans into them as not slut shame for them. She kind of weaponizes them and convinces Cloud to wear one too. Also, the perils of pink. I found a whole article about this, just the fact that she wears pink and how a lot of people judged her for it. She is friends with all the other women in the party. Everyone, really, but she's friends with the women. That, unfortunately, is kind of rare. Recent quotes from developers about wanting her and Tifa to have a better relationship have come up. They wanted them to have more fun. And there was a lot of backlash from mainly gamer dudes about how she's too mean to Cloud, the main guy. She's definitely not 100%. She's like a really incredibly optimistic character in the face of a lifetime of tragedy. Some have argued that she is the main hero of Final Fantasy VII. She is the foil to Sephiroth, who's the main villain, but also a sympathetic villain, for sure. But yes, she was still killed to move along the plot, but it didn't feel empty like it often does when they do that to women characters. But she was still killed to move along the plot. She was the heart of the party. She feels like she could have easily been the main character. And Cloud the support. Like when you play it, especially for me now, I'm like, she feels like the main character and I'm playing the side character to her. From Alana Hags at RPG Fan. As a child, I let society and the world cloud my opinion of Aerith. To me, she wasn't Tifa. She was physically weak and her playful attitude rubbed me the wrong way. I imprinted harmful gender stereotypes on Aerith because of other people's perceptions of what a, quote, strong female character should be like. But now I think Aerith is one of the strongest female characters I've ever seen. Thrust with the burden of saving the planet, she travels the world with a smile on her face. She's got attitude, but her vulnerability shows that even she is scared of her own destiny. By re-experiencing Final Fantasy VII that second time, I also realized how unfairly I treated other female characters for similar reasons. Because I believed them to be weak, because they were too nice, because they weren't strong. Seeing Aerith in a new light taught me to recognize the good in everyone and to celebrate female characters for who they are. Yeah, I want to come back and talk about Tifa because it really is interesting that kind of their outward, what they would have you believe is not the case of their character. It's really interesting. But yeah, I hope this made some sense for you who don't know about this? And for those that do, I hope that this was a fun one for you. And oh, I desperately want to talk about the shipping stuff that's coming on with the new one, but I'll wait. I'll wait. But my heart goes out to everyone who's had their heart broken.
Oh, no.
Yes. It'll be okay. It's going to be okay. Well, I hope so. I haven't gotten to the end yet, so I'm pretty sure I know what happens, but I haven't gotten to the end. Well, if you have any thoughts or any suggestions about this, please let us know. You can write in at stephaniediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter at Momstuff Podcast or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff I Never Told You. We have a TeePublic store and we have a book where I talk about some of these characters. You can find it wherever you get your books. Thanks, as always, to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
Thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.